Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive with us. Today we're going to be looking at a case from 1962.
Oh, good. That one's in 62.
Yeah, so this one's going to be pretty interesting. It involves a Sunoco service station, and there was a fire.
Okay.
And it leads to all these questions about, you know, who is responsible when things go wrong at a business.
Mm.
Especially when you've got like a big company like Sunoco and then, you know, an individual running the service station.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we've got the actual court documents from the case.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're going to get into all the details and see what we can learn from it.
I'm fascinated to see what the arguments were like back then and how they, you know, how they decided who was liable.
Yeah, for sure. So to give you a little background, it's 1962 and we're at this typical Sunoco service station.
Okay.
Everything seems normal. And then suddenly, boom, there's a fire during a routine fill-up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and unfortunately, someone gets injured.
I see.
So, of course, the lawsuit follows.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the injured parties, they didn't just sue the employee who was involved. They also sued the station operator, a man named James Barone.
Okay.
But they also went after Sunoco, the big oil company.
Oh, wow. So they're trying to hold the company responsible, too.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting, because
right now
we have to figure out, was Barone just running his own independent business?
Right.
Or was he basically an extension of Sunoco, which would make them liable for what happened?
Yeah, that's a big question.
Right. So how do we answer that question?
Yeah.
Well, legally, it all comes down to control.
Control.
Yeah, that's the key word. Did Sunoco have enough control over Barone's business to be held responsible for the accident?
Mm, I see. So we need to look at the specifics of their relationship to see how much influence Sunoco really had.
Exactly.
Mm.
We need to know, were they calling the shots on his daily operations? Did they dictate how he ran things?
Right. So what kind of evidence did they have to work with?
Well, they had the lease agreement between Barone and Sunoco. And at first glance, it seems like a pretty standard independent contractor setup.
Okay, so how?
So, for example, Barone owned all his equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the right to end the lease with just 30 days notice.
Mm.
Plus, he was paying rent for the property. So it seems like he was running his own show.
Yeah, I mean, so far it sounds like a typical landlord-tenant situation.
Right, but of course there's a twist.
Okay, I knew there had to be more to it.
Yeah, so that rent, it wasn't a fixed amount.
Interesting. So how was it calculated?
It was actually partly based on how much gasoline he bought from Sunoco.
Oh, I see. So the more gas he sold, the more rent he paid.
Exactly. And then there's the whole branding thing. Remember those iconic Sunoco signs?
Yeah, of course.
And the uniforms, they were everywhere at his station.
Right, so even though he was paying rent, there were still a lot of signs pointing to a connection with Sunoco.
Exactly. And on top of that, the plaintiffs argued that Barone had received training at a Sunoco school.
Hmm. Okay.
And they pointed to the fact that a Sunoco sales rep visited him regularly, offered advice.
So it wasn't just a hands-off lease agreement. They were actively involved in some aspects of his business.
Right. So now the lines start to get a little blurry. Is this enough to prove that Sunoco had control over Barone's operations?
Yeah, that's a good question, because offering advice isn't the same as giving orders.
Right. But the plaintiffs argued that this guidance from the sales rep showed a significant level of control, much more than you'd usually see with an independent contractor.
I see. So they're basically saying that Sunoco was calling the shots even if they weren't doing it directly.
Exactly. So the big question is, did the court agree with that argument? Did they buy it, or did they side with Sunoco and say, hey, this is just standard business practice?
Yeah, that's what I'm dying to know. What did the court ultimately decide?
Well, before we get to the court's decision, there's one more detail that I think you'll find really interesting.
Camel ears.
The court documents actually reveal that Barone was selling some competitor products at his station.
Really? So he wasn't exclusively selling Sunoco products?
Nope. It seems like he had some freedom to offer other brands, albeit in limited areas of his station.
Wow, that's a pretty big detail. Did that sway the court's decision at all?
That's a great question, and we'll dive into the court's ruling right after this break.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
It definitely did play a role, but it wasn't like the only thing they considered.
Right.
It's not like a gotcha moment that automatically makes him independent.
Makes sense. So they had to weigh all the evidence and figure out if Sunoco's influence was enough to call Barone their agent.
Right.
Okay, I'm dying to know, what did they decide?
Well, drum roll, please.
Uh-huh.
The court actually sided with Sunoco.
Really?
Yep. They ruled that Barone was an independent contractor.
Wow. So even with all that branding, the advice, the training, it still wasn't enough to establish that they had control over him.
Exactly. Yeah. The judge basically said that, sure, Sunoco had some influence, but it wasn't at the level of dictating his daily operations.
I see. So it's like they were focused on the big picture, you know, making sure he sold their gas, maintained certain standards, but not micromanaging his every move.
Exactly. It's a good distinction. And their reasoning here is really important because it sets a precedent.
Oh, wow. So this case actually had an impact on future cases.
Absolutely. This case is cited all the time when courts have to figure out if someone is an employee or an independent contractor.
It makes you wonder how this would play out in today's world with the gig economy and companies like Uber and DoorDash.
Yeah, you've got all these drivers. Are they really independent contractors, or are these platforms controlling them in ways that blur the lines?
Right, because those companies definitely have some influence over how their drivers operate.
Exactly. And that's why this case from 1962 is still so relevant. It provides a framework for analyzing these modern day situations.
It's like this case from the past is shedding light on the present, helping us understand these new ways of working.
Exactly. And it highlights how important it is to understand the legal side of things, whether you're a company or an individual.
It makes you think twice about those contracts we all sign without really reading them.
Absolutely. You need to know what kind of relationship you're getting into, what level of control is involved, and what risks you might be taking on.
So we've seen how this case shaped the legal landscape and how its ideas are still relevant today. But what about the human side of all this?
Yeah, that's a good point. We've talked a lot about contracts and legal arguments, but what happened to the people who were actually injured in the fire?
Right, because at the end of the day, it's real people's lives that are affected by these decisions.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the court documents don't really get into the personal stories of the plaintiffs.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, they focus on the business relationship between Barone and Sunoco, not the individual impact of the accident.
I guess that makes sense from a legal perspective.
Yeah.
But it's still important to remember that every case, every contract has real human consequences.
Absolutely. Okay. And, you know, thinking about the human side of things, it brings up another interesting point about this case, risk assessment.
Risk assessment.
Yeah, Barone, as an independent contractor, had a lot of freedom. But that freedom also came with more risk. If something went wrong, he was personally liable.
I see. So if he had been considered an agent of Sunoco, they might have had to share some of the responsibility.
Exactly. So there's this trade-off. More autonomy usually means more risk.
That makes sense. If you want to be your own boss, you have to be prepared to handle the consequences if things go south.
It applies to so many situations, not just this case. Think about entrepreneurs, freelancers, anyone who's working independently.
Right. They're all taking on more risk in exchange for more freedom.
Exactly. So you really have to think carefully about these choices. Weigh the pros and cons. Consider the long-term implications.
It's not just about the immediate benefits. You have to think about the potential risks, the legal aspects, and how much responsibility you're willing to take on.
Exactly. And that's where informed decision making is so important. Before you sign anything, before you start a business, do your research. Understand the legal landscape, the potential risk, and how you can protect yourself.
Sounds like good advice for anyone thinking about becoming an independent contractor.
Absolutely. It highlights the importance of resources like legal guides, workshops, even podcasts like ours.
Right. Anything that can help people understand these complex topics and make informed decisions.
Exactly. And I think that's a great segue into wrapping up this deep dive.
It's been really insightful. I feel like we've uncovered so much about this case and its broader implications.
Definitely. I hope our listener has learned a lot about legal precedent, business relationships, and risk assessment.
Before we go, is there one key takeaway you want our listener to walk away with from all this?
That's a good question. I think the most important thing is to remember that every decision has consequences.
Consequences.
Yeah, whether you're a business owner, a worker, a consumer, every choice you make has potential risks and rewards. And it's crucial to think critically about those consequences before you act.
So it's all about being informed and making conscious choices.
Exactly. And that's really what we're trying to do here with this podcast. Empower people with knowledge so that they can make the best decisions for themselves.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on.
It's been a pleasure diving into this case with you.
Likewise. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this journey. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into the world of knowledge and discovery.
You know, if I had to pick one thing I really hope our listener remembers from this whole thing, it's that it's that they should always think about risk and responsibility.
Yeah.
Like no matter what you're doing in the business world, whether you own the business or work for someone or even just buying stuff, you know?
Right.
This case, it kind of gives you a new way to look at those relationships and what could happen, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's like knowledge is power, right?
Exactly.
The more we understand these things, the better decisions we can make.
In this case, it might be old, but the stuff it talks about is still important today. You know, like how much control someone has, that's still a big deal, mm-hmm. to figure out who's responsible.
Yeah.
And that balance between freedom and responsibility.
Right.
That's something everyone has to think about. And of course, having clear contracts and knowing what risks you're taking.
It feels like we found this like secret code from the past.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we used it to figure out what's happening today and maybe even what will happen in the future.
That's a great way to put it. And it shows how important these legal precedents are.
Mm.
One case about a fire at a gas station ended up changing so much.
It's amazing to see how it all connects.
Yeah, it really is.
I've learned so much about this case and how legal stuff works and how businesses work together.
Me too. It's been a great deep dive.
Well said. And for our listener, this is just one little piece of a huge puzzle.
Right. There's always more to learn, more to explore.
So keep asking questions, keep being curious, and who knows what you'll discover.
That's what it's all about.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. And we'll catch you next time for another adventure in the world of, you know, knowledge and all that good stuff.